Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifieds,
World of Outlaws,
Arcas,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
I think I
that caught everybody off guard.
How about that?
That's not my run.
Oh, no.
I'm not the host of the show.
No, you're not. But good evening, everybody. Welcome to Racetime Radio. That's what happens when you don't do a mic check before. Definitely got a wire going south here in the Racetime Radio studio, but got it all sorted out, Junior. That was exciting right off the top.
It was, for sure. It was a good weekend, though.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? We got so much to talk about tonight.
Yes, we do. A lot of it I don't really want to talk about.
Well,
We're going to talk about it a little bit. But, there was quite the eventful night over at Sunset Speedway on Saturday night. Of course, I went over and gave a buddy of mine a hand, Taylor Holdaway, jumped on the radio and talked to him while his regular spotter is having a baby. But I just went over there to play, and got out of hand over there.
It sounds like it was an exciting night at Sunset Speedway.
It was quite the night.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that.
Yes,
let me tell you who we got coming on the show tonight. How about a first-time winner in the APC series? That's right. How about just a different winner in the APC series?
Yeah.
Brandon Watson finished the race second, but going to victory lane at Flamborough Speedway last night in the Interstate Batteries 100 was the number 84, J.R. Fitzpatrick. And good news is J.R. is going to jump on this program with us tonight. We'll talk to him about that first win in APC. That was huge, Junior. You and I watched the race. Quite a race.
Yeah, I really want to thank Pedal Power 51. The guy does a wonderful job. Whoever you are,
yeah.
Do a great job. You know, we got a chance to, obviously I couldn't make it over there. I was over at Sunset. But I got a chance to kick back and watch the race in its entirety. And what a race between the 9 and the 84. I know the 84 ended up using up the 9 a little bit, but going for a win, you know. Yes, but the race itself was it was so exciting to watch. They had multiple crossovers between the two, and they overall just continually just showed great racing between Brandon Watson and J.R. Fitzpatrick as well. You know, you've seen a little bit of contact and stuff throughout the race. Good hard short track racing.
Yeah.
You know, one of the big things that I want to, you know, kind of preach is nobody really lost a car in the race itself.
No,
you know, there was
like
some fenders and some body panels and stuff that you see, some hurt feelings. But it's good to see, you know, none of the major crazy big wrecks that you can sometimes see at that joint.
Yeah, and it happens, especially when you got that many wind-thirsty sort of guys on the racetrack and that caliber of car, right? They've got some beautiful-looking cars in that APC series.
Yeah.
Dynamite job by all those crews. They looked spectacular once again. And I got to put a shout-out to Susan Spunga. Man, she did a great job from Flamborough Speedway last night. Watched it on Facebook.
Facebook Live. Yeah,
it was kind of cool. Got right down to, I'd say, about 70 laps in, about 30 to go. Susan came out and she goes, "Oh, no, everybody, my phone's going to die."
Yeah, for sure.
So, but she did a spectacular job. It was kind of cool.
Thank you for that.
When you couldn't make it to the race, kind of cool that you're able to still watch it and get some information that we all crave. Also want to let you know, we got Steve Trundle coming up on the show, Canadian Vintage Modified driver. Went to Victory Lane, I believe, in their season opener at Delaware Speedway on Friday night. Then we're going to go off to the East Coast. Of course, Pass came into Petty International Raceway for the inaugural race there. And it was one of the regulars, Cole Butcher, going to Victory Lane. You know, one of those champions in the Parts for Trucks Tour was that Petty running pass, and he went to victory lane. So
I will
Cole's going to join us.
I will say, thank goodness, they have a stout field of pro stocks on the East Coast. Because if they wouldn't have, they would only have been, what, 9 or 10 pass cars?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
You know, when you look at the pass, you know, in any of the northern states, you're looking at 20 to 25 cars. And I thought that it was going to be a healthy balance of, you know, 18 to 20 cars plus the added bonus of having the guys from the Pro Stock Tour there. But judging by, you know, taking a look at the event and stuff, I don't know the exact count, but if there wasn't the Pro Stock Tour guys there, it would have been a lackluster show.
Yeah, it sounds like it would have been. It was Ben Rowe coming home second. I want to say Griffith was in, in third spot. But what do you say, Junior? We get to that first guest of the night, and I'll tell you what, he's got to be one excited guy. Finally got the monkey off his back. He finally went to victory lane in an APC race. He did it last night, and tonight he's on with us. So got to welcome in J.R. Fitzpatrick, driver of that Equipment Express number 84. What's going on tonight, J.R.? I bet you're still giggling.
Yeah, we're just we're relaxing tonight and letting everything soak in.
I bet. That's got to feel good for not only you, the crew, for the family, for everybody. Finally, you get that win.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I wouldn't say a long time coming. You know, last year was our first year in the APC Tour, and and I thought we would have for sure have at least given a run at it last year, but it was a little tough. You know, things just never went our way last year. So to come out this strong this year, it's awesome. I mean, we got a good thing cooking right now, and we just got to keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched the race last night via Susan Spunga. Did a great job watching as far as I could on the telephone. And we, in turn today, Junior and I sat down and watched it on YouTube and caught the race. Looks like you in the 9 car, you started this race, what, back in 9th or 10th spot? So you had your work cut out.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeing to be, because of everyone else's issues at Sunset, I was one of the only ones that started the back. All, you know, the 81, the 9, 89, all those guys were all at the front. So, I mean, I had to play catch-up most of the race, but I knew we had a really good car because we tested on Tuesday and made a lot of good changes and got the car where it was really good. And then on Saturday, we only did 2 of the practices and felt really good about it.
So tell me, how many times did you hear, I need you to save me some tires, JR? I need you to save me some stuff here, buddy.
Yeah, Steven is my spotter, and he's incredible. I mean, if anybody listens to his communication on that little video that Thompson Photography put up, you can get a hint of how good he is. He's just so calm, so smooth, so experienced. And I really think, you know, without him, I probably would have got worked up in a couple situations last night. But he's definitely the saver of me in a race, that's for sure.
You wouldn't have got worked up. Not you, JR.
Hey, I'll tell you, with the field being as tight as it is in APC, you know, Flamborough is a very hard place to pass. So to come from 9th and made a few passes on the outside, and it just shows you how good, you know, most of the guys are, because, you know, you can pass at some tracks on the outside and some you can, some you can't. It all depends on who's on the inside. So for the most part, everybody ran really good last night.
JR, one of the craziest things that I've seen in a long time is the crossover moves that you and the 9 put on each other. Of course, you talked about it in your post-race interview, you know, we got a chance to watch a lot of it today on you know, social media and stuff, but that had to be a lot of fun in the car overall. Just talk to us a little bit about it and just kind of, you know, walk us through, for the fans that haven't seen it, just walk us through kind of the mid to end portion of that race where you guys were really battling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it was probably a lap just over halfway, lap 50 or something like that. I knew we would try and pressure him a little bit, but make sure that we weren't using our tires up. And anyway, I got a run out of 4, and I got under him, and then he kept his position, so I went high and tried to get around him then, and I couldn't. And then, I don't know, just the way things worked out, I ended up getting the lead, and then he got it back on the inside, and then we went to three, and I just lifted really early, and I did this crossover, which is, I was in the car. I'm like, oh, yeah, now that's sweet. I got the lead, and then we go down to three, and then because he was still just on my outside, I went in really hard on the bottom, and then I just lost my exit just enough where he did a crossover on me. So, I mean, it was a really good race for fans. I mean, everybody there seemed to really enjoy themselves, and Flamborough did a great job hosting everybody. But, you know, and then to get the lead to keep it, we had another restart. And, Brandon and I were really close, I'd say. I was trying to maintain a pace where I thought I still had enough car at the end because I figured we were going to get a few more cautions, and he was setting a pretty hard pace to try and get away, I think. But on the watch, we were about the same. So I knew it was time to go with about 30, so I decided to really start going after it. And then we went to turn one, and I just you know, gave him a little love tap, moved him up the way, you know, nothing vicious, just good old short track racing. And you know, obviously his team doesn't like that too much, but you know, it's just part of racing. And then unfortunately for him, the 21 was right with me in the 89 and the 29, so he fell back a few positions, but he got them all back and battled back to second. So, I mean, he's going to be the guy to try and beat all year.
Yeah, you know, when Junior and I were watching today, I went, oh, look at this. Brandon's to the outside, and he couldn't get cleared to drop back down. I know that happened to the 81 early in the race, too. He seemed to get to the outside, and the freight train came up the inside. There was no holes there. And, man, if there wasn't a hole, you were going to go back a few spots. Unlike you, though, JR, in the 84, it seemed like you could stay on the outside. You could run with everybody on the outside. So there was really no need for a hole until after things sort of got stretched out a bit. Then it was time to use, you know, whatever you had for a racetrack. It was cool to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Flamborough's tough. I mean, you know, like I was saying, the outside is there, but it just depends on who's on the bottom. So, I mean, it's just tough. You really got to plan your moves. And like I said, with everybody being so close in A2C, when it's time to go, you got to go. And, you know, that's things I've been trying to learn is when's the right time to go. And I think 30 was the right choice. So, like I said, you know, it's going to be an interesting year. You know, Brandon's up to second in points. The 89's back up there now. You know, Ryan Kimball's back up there. So all the guys after Sunset are starting to work their way back up to points. And you know, I'm just proud of everyone here because, you know, we're trying to compete against an entire manufacturer, basically. You know, everyone goes on and runs their mouth about how, you know, we're all money and, you know, we don't work on our stuff. We just, you know, daddy pays for everything. Well, I can give them all a little tune-up on that because, you know, yeah, my dad helped buy a trailer for us, and he helps us every now and then, but everybody on this team works really hard, if not harder, you know. So for us to go against a complete manufacturer, and, you know, we don't have a pull-down rig. We got a push-down. We got four guys to push on the nose. So,
yeah.
You know, we do it old school, and it's really working for us, and it seems like now that we're getting fast, everybody's got a problem with it.
Well, that's good. You're not out there to make friends, and nobody is. Anybody that is running up front is going to lose a couple friends, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I even had a couple when I showed up.
JR, looking at Flamborough Speedway, and obviously you've turned a ton of laps there in a late model style car, really in every style of car. Racing surface-wise, it had been a little bit since you guys were out there. It looked like the cars had more grip this time around. Is it that way? Did they spray anything on the racetrack? Because I noticed, you know, it's always been a thing where everybody is tight in the center at Flamborough and everybody's sideways loose coming off the corner. But watching the video, I mean, I didn't see a whole lot of that. And is that just an attribute to all the teams getting better, or is that because the track seemed to have a lot of grip?
I mean, I think, you know, Flamborough is very rough. It's not bumpy. It's just the asphalt's very rough. It's very abrasive. Your tires will get wore out after a long period of time, but they didn't put anything down on the surface. But, I'm sure when the super late models were there the week before, that may have helped a little bit with that Hoosier compound. I mean, it rained a little bit through the week, but not too, too bad. So that may have helped. But, I mean, everybody in the APC series is stepping it up. I mean, you have which is hard for us, like I was getting at, you got three or four cars that are, you know, basically McCall house cars. The nine car is prepared 100% and taken to the track and looked after by the McCall group. So, I mean, a lot of people have a stout program, and the guys who are trying to do everything themselves, they've really picked it up this year. I mean, like, you know, like the 89 moved over to Jeff Hanley, and they're much faster this year. You know, the 81 does his own thing. You know, Josh Stoddy, Lasavage, all those guys, we've all really picked it up this year. And I think that's why the racing is much better this year than it was last year. Because you know what? It's amazing that Brandon won all those races. But the rule book is much more clean. It's much more clear for everybody now. We're all on the same page. Everybody's putting 100% effort in and working on their stuff. And the racing's fantastic, man. It's awesome. It's the best racing in Ontario right now.
Now, JR, there is one thing that I'm going to kind of put you on the hot seat. Now, maybe I'm not going to.
Why not? But a little bit.
One thing that you know, I heard a lot of rumblings after the race itself, and this is subjective. It's just, you know, the rumor mill here in racing. But there was a lot of guys talking about the clip sizes in the APC series. Obviously, with the fiasco after the first race, a little bit of rear clip issues with different sizes and stuff like that. Yep. Did you hear any rumblings or see anything over the course of the weekend where there's a couple of different styles of clips in the series?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hear everybody talking about the thicknesses, but everything's rumor until it's checked, right?
Exactly.
Obviously, you know, we all don't have those eyes where we can see through tubings, but I know everybody likes to walk by and take a look at everybody's stuff, and I do hear that there is a lot lighter built cars out there than what we're supposed to have, but I don't know. It's all rumors, right? Like, racing's like a high school. The rumors go through just like high school, so
exactly.
It doesn't take long for rumors to start and get traveled, so until it's checked and until it's proven, then I don't really know what to tell you, but, you know, I'm not much of a person to walk by everybody's cars and see what they got and start crying about stuff, but I do believe that if the cars aren't right, you know, there shouldn't be no massaging. It should just be, here's the rule book, stick to it, because a lot of us have our cars built purposely for the APC rule book, and if you're allowing a much different, you know, clip size or style of race car, then you're basically obsoleting all of us, because, you know, everybody wants to have up-to-date stuff. So a lot of people aren't happy about that. And it goes back to the Sunset deal where they feel that the penalties weren't good enough, but the officials are doing a great job this year. I mean, like I said, the racing has been fantastic, but it's just an attribute to all the teams. I mean, everybody's working so hard, and it, you know, the APC series reminds me so much of like the old CASCAR days. It's just a lot of heavy hitters, you know. It's tough going against manufacturers.
Absolutely, and you answered that with class, by the way. Just wanted to let you know. That was good.
You did good, JR.
You did good.
No bleeping allowed.
Running for office over here, JR Fitzpatrick. Vote for him this Saturday.
You can tell I'm 30.
Yeah, you're getting older, kid.
By the way, that was Burger King deep when you threw it in there and passed the nine.
Just saying. And like I said, everyone, I
loved it.
Watching a YouTube video, and everyone's on there running their mouth that money beats class, whatever, like. You know what? It's racing. You know, Andrew gave me a bump just like that at Sunset. I don't care. It's Rubin's racing. If somebody did that to me with 30 to go, it's racing. I didn't wreck the guy. I'm sorry that I was racing. You know, it's old school style racing. If you don't like it, go race something else.
If you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. We are with a first-time winner in the APC series. First-time winner in the APC series, by no stretch, his first win ever. We're with J.R. Fitzpatrick tonight. The 2006 CASCAR champion, multiple wins in CASCAR, not only CASCAR, but the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. Did you ever win a Pinty's race?
A Pinty's championship?
No, a Pinty's race.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
No.
Pinty's race.
Under Pinty's.
Pinty's. Did you win a race?
You didn't win.
Oh, no. Canadian Tire.
Yeah, you won Canadian Tire and you won
CASCAR. Yeah, I left in 2014, and I believe 2015 is when Pinty's took over.
Okay. Yeah. So he isn't a Pinty's winner, but he is a Oscar Super Late Model champion, multiple winner. He's also won a race on Canada's East Coast in that Parts for Trucks Tour. Won one of those Ron McGilvery 150s back just a few years ago. And JR,
leads me into my next stuff. IWK 250 is coming up. How is that race car being prepared? And are you all set? This has got to put a little more wind in the sails, I would think, having another win.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited. You know, we were talking about that at Campfire last night, but, you know, it's coming quick. I mean, May went by so fast, and June's going to come by fast because, you know, we're going to start doing some testing again this weekend. And so, you know, we're excited. The camping side of things, going for a family vacation with my girls and all my crew guys are going to come. So, you know, that side, it's not even just the racing. We're excited to get down there and tour around and look at all the beautiful scenery of Nova Scotia. And in terms of car, you know, we don't really know what car we're going to take yet because I'm still trying to get that 84B to stay together. I mean, you know, last time we were pretty much the fastest car at Flamborough on a Saturday night there, and we're leading with like 8 to go and we broke. So if we can get that car to stay together, that might be the better idea, only because, you know, the following week of IWK is the APC race at Flamborough again. So we'd have our APC primary sitting here race ready to go. So that would be the plan, but obviously if one's faster and stays together more, then we're going to be taking it to the IWK because, you know, everybody's stout there, so we need to make sure we're taking our A game to that event as well.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Man, you've got a busy, busy summer. Last night at Flamborough Speedway, who did you have with you in the garage area there? Who did you have on the crew?
Oh, I got so many good guys. You know, obviously, Steven was my spotter last night. He's awesome. I'm not going to have him at Peterborough, but, you know, he does an awesome job for me. Ted McAllister was there. You know, my normal guy. John, spot on last night. Chris, Sandy, Bob, Paul Baker. And then, you know, I had some visitors. My dad came to the race. Don Thompson came to the race and his wife, Teresa. And Dennis Thompson was in the stands. I mean, I had lots of people there cheering for us, and they even all said that it was an incredible race to watch. I mean, the racing's so tight, it's so exciting, and it's intense, and I really think APC has done a great job at cleaning up the rules and making it so everybody's got a shot at this.
See, you don't need friends, JR. You brought them all with you to the racetrack.
Yeah.
You can count on those ones, right? Yeah. Amazing. Well, kid, it was great, you know, seeing you get that first win. You deserve it. And I know I put a tweet out last night. I said JR gets his first win in the APC series. And I believe it was Sammy came back and said there is nobody that's working harder than JR to get that win and to prepare his car. And all I can do is agree, man. I know you guys are working your tails off trying to get these wins, and by God, you got one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, I've been saying it to everybody. It feels really good just because, you know, there's usually on average 3 to 4 of us in the shop working, you know, Monday, Thursdays, and sometimes Sundays. And you know, we're a small team if you think about it. You know, there's, you know, we don't have all the stuff that the manufacturers got. So all these guys that get their stuff prepared by them, it's tough to compete with. So I'm really proud of everyone on this team. You know, we've been bringing fast race cars, so I'm just excited to be the man that gets to wheel it, and I'm excited to get testing this weekend for our next event because that's our plan, is try and test as much as possible and get the car as close as possible to every event, and so when we show up to the racetrack, we're not throwing springs at it.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to be prepared. When is your next race? When's that next APC race?
The next APC race is June 16th at Peterborough Speedway. It'll be a great event. A lot of guys are really good there. Not a lot of passing, but we're going to try and get there and test this weekend. If we're still trying to decide if we're going to go race Flamborough on Saturday night, because after everything got wrecked there, I'm still waiting for a few parts. So yeah, we're excited, and then in between all that, we still got to get my father-in-law's Outlaw car ready.
Oh, really? You got lots to do, don't you?
We're a busy bunch.
Incredible, JR. Well, congratulations on the win. Congratulations to all of you. Enjoy the victory. Enjoy the time. You got another race to prepare for, and this one here will be forgotten about, other than in the shop. And you can definitely count on the history of APC to look back on it, but you know what I mean. This one here is forgot about as soon as the next one is in front of us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're getting back to work tomorrow, so we all celebrated good enough, and we're already thinking ahead for Peterborough and watching videos and getting ready for the next one. You know, these aren't easy, so we want to see if we can keep them coming.
You betcha. JR, good luck with it, and I know we'll have our eyes firmly planted on the APC series. Congratulations, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's JR Fitzpatrick. He got the big win, JR.
Yes, he did. He drove a whale of a race too. I just want to say, you know, it's been a long time coming. They've worked hard to get there, and I'm looking forward to seeing. You know, there's a couple guys that ran up front that showed some speed, but this little championship race is she's going to get tight here through the middle portion of the season.
Yeah, it's
when you look at
tight.
You look at the speed that Chenoweth had, if he didn't have his issues and go to the back, and even Trayton. You know, races way right up there. Gressel, obviously, he hasn't had the results that he wanted to. Yeah. Like, he finished second over at Sunset. But, you know, he hasn't finished the way that he wants to, obviously. So there's some gunners going to be coming up through the field, you know, when they do get over to Peterborough. And that track really suits a guy like, you know, Chenoweth. Chenoweth is so good at Peterborough Speedway.
Sure he is. And 29.
Well, the big thing about Chenoweth is they're working with Jeff Hanley.
Yeah.
Hanley is a rocket ship at Peterborough Speedway.
Absolutely.
So they've got some really cool setup stuff. Obviously some ideas that they'll be implementing. So watch for that 89 car and really just the entire top 10. When you look down through the list, how about Tim Ellis? We got to give him a tip of the hat too.
Track record,
you know, big time first time out with his APC car for 2018 and hats off to him. Obviously fastest in practice, new track record in qualifying. Didn't have the results that he wanted to, but you watch when they get up to Sauble Speedway, that's Tim Ellis's stomping grounds. When he gets up there, he's going to be fast.
That guy could drive that racetrack at Sauble Speedway with his eyes shut.
I've seen him do it with the hood over the windshield.
Unbelievable. He is going to be real fast there. And, you know, Stoddy has been really, really fast at the beach, setting fast times.
Putting a lot of emphasis on Sauble Speedway.
Tom Gibbons broke at Flamborough. I got a quick look at his car. What amazing looking piece. Tom Gibbons will be fast when he hit the beach. So many guys will be. It's going to be exciting. You can guarantee it. I know. Can't wait to find out what all takes place at Peterborough and onward. But, yeah, like you say, the 89 at Chenoweth, he put a show on last night. Had to go into the pits, I don't know, around lap 20, went to the back, worked his way right back up to the top, and was challenging for second spot.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You can't get much better than that.
No, for sure.
And Chenoweth can get it done, right? We've seen him at Flamborough. That's his magic spot. But he's got a number of tracks like that he's really good at. So
yep.
Things just heating up. It's going to be cool. We got two races in. We got two different winners.
Yeah, two different winners and one big points lead for the 84 car.
Yeah, well, they'll be all chasing them down. Okay, we're going to hit a quick break. I'm going to switch my mic cord just in case this thing decides to go south one more time. And when we come back, we're going to talk Canadian Vintage Modifieds. We've got Steve Trendle going to come up. And we're going to talk to him about the big win at Delaware Speedway on Friday night. So don't you go anywhere. Things just starting to cook here at Race Time. Stay with us.
Hi, race fans. This is Gord Bennett, owner of Full Throttle Motor Speedway, and you're listening to Race Time Radio. We'll be right back.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on, it's time to dance!
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Man, we're going green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers, get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks. Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Racetime Radio. Brand new mic cord, I think, Junior. I think I have just solved our problem here with that particular channel.
When you only have to pull out a backup mic cord, it's a good day. When you got to pull up a backup pace car, it's a horrible thing.
Wow, you talk about having a bad day. Tell you what, if you had a bad day today, if you had a real bad day, what I want you to do is go to Twitter or go to Facebook. It's got to be everywhere by now. And I know what you're talking about, Junior. That pace car in the Indy race, right? That brand new, beautiful looking Corvette has got
driven by a GM executive.
Oh, is that what it was?
It was GM executive. Yeah,
that's okay. He just
The normal pace car driver is Oriel Servia, and Buddy jumps out there in a brand new Corvette, GM executive.
Yeah.
Just got a little bit throttle happy and, stuffed her in the fence.
Amazing.
How bad is that, though?
That's
definitely, wow.
That's cool.
Now, I've seen pace cars get wrecked before. This is not a new thing.
Oh, no.
I've seen pace cars get bumped into. I've seen pace cars get hit before on the racetrack. I've seen, at Daytona, one got absolutely destroyed.
That was in the ARCA race.
In the ARCA race, yep.
Yeah.
That car got absolutely destroyed at Daytona.
Yeah.
We're talking back in the, late 99, 98 in that ballpark, right?
Yep.
2000,
yep.
Somewhere in there. I've also seen pace cars light on fire at Daytona again for the Busch Clash.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Sprint Unlimited, whatever you want to call it now. It's not a new thing for a pace car to get destroyed, but to actually wreck a pace car by itself. Wild. That dude has got a great bar story to tell for the rest of his life while he's getting his pension from early retirement.
Yeah. What does Morgan call that? Career shortening move.
Yes, it is a career shortening move. Yep,
yeah. CSM.
CSM, yeah.
Yeah, career shortening move.
Just ugly.
You know what? The guy's going to want to hope that his boss wasn't looking on. Or hope he doesn't have a phone. Because, man, he wrecked the front end of that Corvette. I wonder if the airbags went off.
Guaranteed. That car is destroyed. That Corvette's, you can hit a deer and ride a Corvette off, right?
Yeah.
And this dude piled her in there at about 80 mile an hour. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just an ugly deal.
I bet Ron Fellows has got a tear in his eye watching one of those poor cars get destroyed like that.
I wonder if Ron's ever wrecked one.
A Corvette?
I know he's wrecked the racing models of Corvettes before.
Right.
But I wonder, with his driving school, I wonder if he's ever,
went
over the edge. And we'll have to talk to him about that next
time
we have him on.
I've been in the car with him. I've been in that Corvette at CTMP before the truck race. He took me for a ride, a rocket ride, and showed me. It gave me a really good view of the racetrack, if you will. It took me for two laps. One was a nice, easy lap that we went around the racetrack, and I'm going to say, it was fast according to me, but it was like a real slow, easy lap for Ron. And he was going around showing me the racetrack saying, okay, the cars are going to do this, they're going to do that. And I believe I even filmed it with my phone. And then Ron said, okay, now, Joe, you hang on a wee bit. I'm going to take you for a little bit quicker ride. And I'll tell you what, he scared the bejeepers out of me going around that racetrack. CTMP is a fast track. It ain't near as fast as you think it is unless you get in the car with Ron Fellows at his racetrack, and he knows every single bump and pivot in that racetrack. And I'll tell you what, that was a ride of my lifetime.
Yeah.
I'll never go that fast again in a car.
No.
Guaranteed.
Tell you what, the ride of my life, and I've been on a couple of them, but not around a cool track like that with a world-class driver, you know, at a road course or like in a street car or anything.
Yeah.
But I went for a ride-along in a Pro Challenge car with Russ Bond.
I remember that.
It was a Pro Challenge is a three-quarter scale late model or three-quarter scale, however you want to call it, but three-quarter scale full-size car. Just big enough for two guys to sit by side by side. And I mean, if we would have wrecked, I would have been on his lap.
Oh, yeah.
But they've got a, I believe it's a 950, it might be a 750 Cowie motor in it. And they get after it. And they're a little manual car. You know, they've got probably about 250 or 300 horse. Wide, sticky, gummy Hoosier tires on them. And Russ Bond took me for a rip in his side by side. And I tell you what, if I was in the market to buy one of those Pro Challenge cars, that was the best move that they could have done, is take people for rides, because they fly. They were doing lap times at Sauble Speedway in the vicinity of 14 seconds. So they're getting after it, and you know, around a quarter mile. And we went for a rip, and he said in the you know, it when we were waiting to go out on the racetrack,
yeah.
He said, do you want a scary ride or do you want a fun ride? And I said, scare me.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did like four hard laps, and everything was nice and smooth. Just, you know, good entry, good exit, everything. And on the fifth one, he ended up getting loose coming off of turn four. And we just about ate it big. and he even lifted. He waved his hand at me in front of my head.
Yeah.
And then we pulled off the racetrack. And when we came in, he goes, that was close.
Yeah, you guys were almost cleaning the wall.
Yeah, we were just about cleaning her. But it was a lot of fun.
I don't know where those guys were racing this weekend, but I know Tim got both wins. I can't remember where they were.
Tim.
But I did see it. Tim Norris.
Okay.
Yeah, I seen it on Twitter, I believe.
Yep.
And Ontario Pro Challenge, if you see them on the schedule of your local
racetrack.
They're definitely
cool. You got to go see them.
Got to go see them.
Yep.
Honest to God.
They're cool.
A great, great series.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, real good one. Now, I got to ask you. No, I'm not. I'm going to save it.
What happened at Sunset Speedway?
Yeah, I'm going to save
it. Is that what you're going to ask me?
I am going to save it. What else did you have your eye on this weekend? Don't talk about Sunset. We'll do that in hour number two.
One of the big things that I had my eye on, obviously, you know, I love the style of racing at Pocono Speedway. I love the speed of it. And the tough part is they get so spread out.
They
right?
do. Big
at
time.
Pocono. So the style of racing, the restarts, all that is exciting. But I love the fact that, you know, the driver is into it more than just sitting behind the wheel and holding it wide open. So I love that about Pocono, and, you know, so I was keyed in. As soon as the race dropped the green flag today, I was sitting in that chair watching, and, I was let down this time.
Where
it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that dramatic. I was absolutely, you know, happy that Martin Truex won. He did a great job, drove the race of his life, but I was keyed right into that race, and man, it was a letdown through the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, it was just simply spaced out, and now I'm ruined because of the All-Star race.
The way that
they did that at Charlotte, I know they were going slower. They were doing 160 miles an hour instead of 190.
You couldn't tell, not from the TV.
Well,
you
can tell that they were going slower. Like, they were going dramatically slower than normal, but the racing was great. I know it was Charlotte versus Pocono. That package wouldn't work at Pocono. I do not believe it would work at a track like Pocono or Indianapolis, for that matter.
Pocono's real fast.
It's just the way that it is. You need to stretch the legs. You need to be able to race, but the ends aren't conducive to side by side or three wide racing. But you know, I'm so ruined because I want to see more of that. What they explored at Charlotte, and you know, I hope that that can become part of NASCAR racing.
It's gonna. It's gonna. And I, Junior, you can't say it's that. Gonna have to. It's gonna have to.
I know. They need. Today's deal is you can get instantly gratified by watching short YouTube clips of extreme things that have happened. Whether it be, if you're into racing, you could watch extreme clips of stuff that's happened in racing. If you like watching wrecks, you can watch wrecks. If you like watching skydiving, you can watch skydiving. If you want to watch whatever you want to watch, people play guitar or learn how to play guitar, you can go on there and you can see it. To sit there and key in and watch an entire NASCAR race today like it was at Pocono, I mean,
it's tough.
I sat there and watched it because I'm a dedicated race fan, but I could see probably about 50 points throughout that race where a normal occasional race fan, which is the money maker in racing, you would just shut it off and go to something else.
Right. And tune back in with 10 to go.
Yeah, exactly. Or forget.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's tough. It really is. Not every race is going to be a Daytona or a Talladega or
a Bristol.
And really, that's what everybody wants to see. So they either got to emulate that on a regular basis, or they got to add more Daytona, Talladega, and Bristols and forget about the rest.
I know.
Because from a sales perspective, I don't know how else you do it. Because you can't, I don't know.
They're in a tough spot.
I love watching NASCAR, but I can't stand it when they get spread out and there isn't a race.
Yeah.
It's follow the leader, and you're waiting for the next stage to end.
And I respect
for the next pit stop.
I respect and love strategy. I get it. I think it adds a lot to the race personally, but I think it takes too much of an emphasis today. Track position should not be so prominent, I don't believe. Gaining track position on pit road, you're seeing more passes today on pit road than you do on the racetrack, and that's wrong to me.
Yeah.
Now, you see guys have rough pit stops and then drive their way back up to the front, like Martin Truex had today.
Right.
But, I mean, that's not part of what the race fans deserve.
No.
The race fans deserve seeing, more and more. Now, you can look back on it and say, well, look, at Pocono back in 1971 or whenever, two cars finished on the lead lap and there was 150,000 people in the grandstand. Well, there was nothing to do back then.
Right.
That was the coolest thing to do, is go watch people race. And the crazy part is they were barely strapped in with a towel.
Right. Well, and that's the daredevil side of the sport, right? Back then, there was a real possibility that, not everybody was going to come home from that race.
Exactly.
And
no,
I'll tell you what, there was a lot of people, believe it or not, that would go to those races back in those days for that very fact.
Well, they were revered as like
daredevils.
Heroes and daredevils. And absolutely no question that was part of the sport. We are way further advanced than that being part of the sport now.
Yeah.
But now, in order to captivate the audience, there has to be action. And it has to be nonstop action. If you think that taking breaks and stuff in the middle of a race is okay, not taking breaks, I mean like coming down and re-racking them and dropping the green again.
Right.
I like stage racing. I think they took a step in the right direction. But all the race teams just ruined it because they're smart enough to realize that that's a place where they can make up ground, and it took away from racing and added to pit strategy. So really, when you look at the stage racing aspect, originally the first 20 races of stage racing was great because nobody knew how to play it.
Right.
Now you watch
it,
every crew chief, every engineer has got it figured out what's going to happen. Barring a parts failure from somebody else or a wreck of some other kind that throws a wrench into it. But today's fans deserve nonstop action. And to be honest with you, this is the resurgence of dirt racing. The dirt racing is going through one of the largest booms in professional sports. When you look at the World of Outlaws, they pack every single event. Granted, there's only 10,000 seats at a majority of the tracks, only 4,000 or 3,000 at some of them, but then upwards of, 15,000 at some of them.
Right.
Every racetrack that they roll into, you can't buy a ticket to go see them.
Yeah.
And you know, the boom that they're experiencing right now is similar to what the boom happened in NASCAR, in professional, you know, asphalt racing.
And in dirt, you don't get any practice time.
You don't get any practice time. You're only racing for 35, 40, maybe 50 laps at a time.
So
it's quick action, bing, boom, 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 and go home, right? And you know, the tumbling aspect, the wrecking, and all that stuff comes with good short track racing or good racing in general.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to a dirt track to watch sprint cars flip over.
No.
They're going to watch really good racing. And
they're going to see the other stuff. It is inevitable. It's going to happen when you're running that close, that tight, and doing the speeds that these guys are doing. It's going
to
happen.
I don't think that the answer to good racing is endurance anymore, where it used to be.
Right.
And the 600, the Coca-Cola 600, or, you know, a 500-mile race used to have the allure of, oh, my goodness, that car can last for 500 miles.
Right.
Today, these cars, they could build them to run for 2 months straight, and they wouldn't wreck or burn up.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, like, it would just...
That's just the way it is.
It's just the way that it is. They can tune for you know, endurance. And really, they're building the cars to last for 650 miles instead of 600, you know.
Right.
So they're exploiting that distance. But they have enough knowledge on how to make a car go that long. And... really, when you look at even the longer late model races, you talk about a 300 lap or a 400 lap late model race, even a 250 lap late model race. Endurance isn't the ticket of why you're going to see it.
No.
It's the atmosphere around the event, and it's the atmosphere of the racing that takes place. If you can captivate the audience for that whole 250 laps,
yeah,
great. Do it.
Yeah.
But if you can't, scale it back.
Yeah.
And I think a great example of that is the APC race. They did 100 laps, and there was good racing all the way throughout. I think that JR is right where everybody said that it was a great race, just a spectacular event, and they did a great job with it.
Yeah.
And when you look at what NASCAR is doing right now in general, I feel that they're getting away from the diehard fans, but they're also alienating the fans that want instant gratification.
Yeah,
so they are. So you're alienating two massive segments. Either cater to your core and stick to it
and
nail it to the T of what they want.
Right.
Or and hope your core grows from that.
Right.
Or focus on instant gratification. Don't try to straddle between both, because you're just going to alienate both sides.
And
I feel that that's the tough situation that they're in right now. And am I the only one saying that? I don't believe so. I think that everybody would echo that exact same, you know, statement. They're in such a tight box right now. Without a drastic change, like an ownership change, which we're hearing rumblings of, I feel that they are kind of, you know, put into a box that they can't get out of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting future. I can guarantee it. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Up next, we're going to get Steve Trundle on the line. We'll talk Delaware Speedway and Canadian Vintage Modified Racing. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I know, it goes, asphalt's racing on dirt for plant potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
We have a go green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Just like that, we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in here tonight. What do you say, Junior? We get right back to that hotline, and let's bring in a winner from Friday night at Delaware Speedway, Canada's fastest half-mile racetrack, and the Canadian Vintage Modifieds were out there. The number 57 was the guy that was class of the field. What's going on tonight there, Mr. Steve Trundle? How's it going?
It's going good, guys. Hanging out on the couch. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. Man, you had a good Friday night. That's nice to come out of the box. Was that your first race of the year, or is that your second one?
That was our first race of the season. Our first two attempts got rained out. So Delaware was our first night of the season. And, yeah, I picked up the first feature win of the night. Like, once again, we run twin 20-lap features. So, I was able to beat TJ Marshall by about half a car to the line. I lost my brake pedal with about five laps to go, so that was a little hairy.
Ah, a little scary. Yeah, Delaware, isn't it?
Yeah, no matter how many times you pump it up, it's never going to be at the top.
Yeah, no kidding. That wall comes up awful fast.
Yeah, and then the second feature, I was running in third place, and unfortunately, we lost the motor with about five laps to go.
Ew. Jeez, you don't want to do that either.
No, I'm pretty sure it's spun a bearing, so with no funds left in the bank and limited sponsors, I don't know what we're going to do. It might be an early end to our season. We're not sure yet.
Nah, you can't be one and done, Steve, especially when you win one, right?
Yes. My dad spent a lot of his money over the years, and I don't want him to spend any more, so... I don't know, hopefully a sponsor will come through or something and pick up a new motor for us, but as of right now, we got nothing on the pipeline.
Now, what do you got under the hood? Are you one of those crate cars, or have you still got one of the straight sixes in there?
No, we run the crate motor. When we picked the new car up 3 years ago, it came with a crate motor in it, so even when we got it, the motor was about 5 years old, and we put three seasons on it, so eight seasons of wear and tear, it's going to let go at some point.
Yeah, well, they build them good, but man, you definitely put it through its paces.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it like at Delaware Speedway on Friday night? Obviously a good race for you. You ended up winning, and then it stunk because you blew up, but what was it like as a night?
The night was good. It was, Delaware had an amazing crowd with the ISMA Super Modifieds there. They always bring out the best crowds around, so it was really good there. Our car count wasn't really the greatest, but nobody's really striving with their car counts. But it's something we need to work on. But all in all, it was a great night. The fans really enjoyed the racing, and I hope we put on a good show.
That's good. Now, you can really relate to those super modified open wheel cars. I know they're going like a bullet. Fastest thing on four wheels, but, you know, an open wheel show has got to be a lot of fun, and is that something that, you know, from a Canadian Vintage Modified side, you guys look up at those super modifieds and go, yeah, that'd be cool one day?
Yeah, especially since I have a pretty good connection to them. My dad used to work in crew for Doug Didero when he ran super modifieds at Oswego and, you know, on the ISMA tour, so I've been around him since, I was 5 years old, so I've always followed them still to this day. I follow along on social media all their videos and stuff, and I love them, but there's not a chance you could ever get me behind the wheel of one of those.
Mark Zammit loves it. I know he had a good night going. He didn't really turn out the way he wanted it, but Mark, always exciting in that 78 car, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really good, and Mike Lickie's really seemed to find his groove in the early start of the season, and they're awesome to watch, just how fast they are, how close they run together, and just watching those wings flatten out down the straightaway, it gets you going pretty good.
Did you catch any of the lap times that they were turning over at Delaware Speedway? Like, I know a good lap time for a late model over there is like 18.4, 18.5, but did you happen to see any lap times from the ISMA cars?
When I looked at race monitor and stuff, it looked like they were into the high 15 second range, like a 15.7.
That's just stupid, isn't it?
Oh, man. Like, we were pitted down in one and two, and when they come out of turn two, up the hill and then down the straightaway, and you just lose them, it's unbelievable. They're bouncing around down the straightaway, and you know, Joe, how the wall curves down towards, like the track curves down towards the wall, and those guys are just sideways at 170 mile an hour. It was insane.
Yeah, definitely. I've been there numerous times with those ISMA cars at Delaware, and it makes the hair on your arm stand up when you, like,
yeah,
it, you know, the first time that they go green, you're like, you think that you've seen some fast laps, you know, throughout the course of the season, watching, you know, the likes of Steve Robley and Gressel and all those guys, but then they come out and just make everybody look like they're playing with toys.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Junior, I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
I've been around racing for 33 years now. I have never heard of a tow truck driver punching out the race director.
No. I haven't either.
Was that all about?
Wow. That was it was quite the show. Well, it was just a gnarly incident over, you know, things get heated, and you know, one of the I love Dwayne Baker to death. I would go to bat for the guy any day. He's been a friend of mine forever, and things got heated. And I, to be honest with you, I like Mike Brown as well. They're both, and to be honest, I thought they were really good buddies. And
apparently,
you know,
not.
I think it's just a friendship thing. I'm not telling anything that nobody doesn't know. You know, I'm not spilling the beans on something that's supposed to be kept silent. But you know, things got heated in Tech Lane over a couple of different incidents,
and we're gonna talk more about it in hour two. You got to hold it right now. You have to, because
we could talk to somebody else and let them say it, because I don't want to piss anybody off.
Listen,
especially we gotta
throw it back to Toronto here in about 30 seconds to
All
update
right.
everybody, and then we can come back and talk about it.
Right.
Steve Trundle, are we going to get you to hang out for a couple more minutes while we do this news update, and then we'll come back?
Yeah, it should be okay. My wife's giving me the nod that it's all right. I do it.
You're still in good shape? Well, that's fantastic, because that's what we're going to do. Steve, you hang out there. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get everybody up to date. It takes like 90 seconds, and we're going to be back with you. So stay with us live tonight on Racetime Radio. We will return in mere moments. We'll continue.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the right leader off too.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, see, that didn't hurt a bit. We are all up to date and back with you. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, And we've got Steve Trendle on the hotline. He is a winner at Delaware Speedway of race number one in the Canadian Vintage Modifieds just Friday night under the lights. And Steve went on to win that first race, but then went on to blow up. Steve, not a good night for a blow up, but it's got to feel good to be in victory lane. Your dad had to be happy with that, too.
Yeah, he was getting a little nervous towards the end. Like I said, the brake pedal was going away, so we were thrashing. They try to make the show go really quick because Friday nights and stuff, they want to get people out of there in time. So we only had about maybe 15 minutes to try and figure out what was going on with the brake system. And by the time we got the car down on the ground, it was time to get back in and line up. So it was good. The car was working fine, like I said, until we... Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure we spun a bearing in it. I've spun many of bearings in an inline six motor, so it's a pretty distinct sound.
Yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. It didn't unload out the oil pan, did it?
No, it all stayed contained in. So when I backed off and drove around slow, made sure the oil pressure was fine, and when I was pulling into the pits and the RPMs dropped down, that's when I heard it and killed the power. And I knew right then we were done.
Well, you know what? Your dad's pretty magic with those wrenches. You never know. He may be able to get that thing back together enough where you can get into another race. Where is the next Canadian Vintage Modified race? Where can fans look to see us?
June 16th at Flamborough Speedway. That's our. We're off for a week, and then we pick up again there, and then... So that's June 16th at Flamborough. And then following that, we get a one-month hiatus. We're done for a month. And then we start back up July 21st at Sauble Speedway. So maybe there's a competitor out there or something that'll let me get in their car. And then we got a month to figure out a motor program for our car. But, you know, it's tough these days. The sponsorship money's just not there, and it's... Can't afford to race out of your own pocket, and we've done it for a long time, and if it means we got to take some time off, then we take some time off. I've done 16 straight years, and I've only missed 3 races in 16 years, so.
Well, you know what? You're making the right decisions, right? You got to do what you got to do. The other thing I want to add to this is, how many guys are there out there with a crate engine that aren't racing that would just love to get involved back at the track? How about putting that crate engine in your car and teaming up?
Yeah, that can be done. We don't allow outside motors, so you have to purchase a brand new motor from one of the dealers, or it's a motor that's previously got to be in the club. There's a couple inline cars out there that I'm going to get in contact with that are just sitting around, just if I can get out there and just putt around midfield or whatever and just try and keep myself in the points hunt. We'll do that, and who knows, maybe my dad will somehow pull a rabbit out of a hat and come up with a new motor, but I'm not really quite sure what's going to happen with that.
Well, we'll have to keep our eye on it and find out, because I love watching you on a racetrack, always do. Whenever I'm at a Canadian Vintage Modified race and you guys are there, I love watching the 57. How about new blood? You got some new guys coming out in those beautiful-looking race cars. Anybody we should be... maybe shining a spotlight on or keeping our eye on?
He's in his third year with the club, but Jeremy Barton, number 84, he's making big strides. It's all new tracks for him once again. He's really picking up the pace pretty good. Max Wright in the 75 car, he hasn't made it out yet this year, but he should be out at Flamborough. He's had a stellar go-karting career with the Waterloo Car Club, which pretty much every CVM driver that's come from go-karts has come from the Waterloo Car Club. We got a couple road race guys that bought a car this year, and they're supposed to be coming out and joining us. But once again, the cars are there. It's just trying to get everybody to come out at the same time, right? Racing's changed in the last 10 years. It's not drag your family to the track anymore. It's go do something else with your family these days.
Yeah, well, to get them out to the Speedway, it's good value for families to get out and see and to do.
Yep.
But I hear you. From a racing competitor side, it's kind of a tough deal, especially when you start popping motors or you destroy cars early in a year. It's pretty hard to pick up the pieces and continue on.
Yeah, it's We've been pretty lucky with even towards the end of our run with inline motors. We kept them pretty simple and made it through the seasons okay. So I think this is the first motor we've lost in about 8 years. So we had a pretty good run, but we'll see what happens, and we'll move on and try and make the best out of this situation.
Well, and it's fresh too, right? It just happened Friday night. Give you guys a week. You'll get inventive. That when you're bit by this race bug, it's pretty hard to shake it.
Yeah, I've already had a couple guys tell me to call them Monday morning and get a hold of them and try and come up with a game plan. So we'll see where that leads. But, hey, I'm a racer at heart. I'd love to race, but you got to know when to spend your money and when not to spend it.
I hear you, buddy. Well, congratulations on the win.
You
got that far. That's one you can have and hold and show everybody. And good luck, and get your buns back out there. It'd be great to see the 57 flying around.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. We'll talk to you guys later.
You want to believe it. That's Steve Trundle. He did go to Victory Lane at Delaware Speedway. Tough track, Junior. You know what that speedway's like. You spent a lot of nights down there at Delaware.
I have, for sure.
You guys got your share of wins.
Yeah, definitely. Delaware Speedway is... you know, I'm a firm believer that if you get around Sauble Speedway or Flamborough Speedway, you can get around any track, right? And you can figure out any track with those two. Delaware Speedway is a different animal than all of them. I've seen a lot of guys, have went to Delaware for the first time and struggled immensely.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I've seen a lot of guys that only raced at Delaware and then went to another track, and they were lost.
Really?
You have so many different driver comforts and certain things that you have at Delaware Speedway that you do differently at Delaware than you do everywhere else. So it's a very difficult track to get a hold of. It has became a little bit easier. It threw everybody for a curveball at the beginning, but when they fixed the corner down in 3 and 4, they took a little bit of the character away from Delaware Speedway that used to be there. They added a little bit of a flair because they added basically a second lane to the turns 3 and 4 at the racetrack. But really difficult place to get a hold of. It's uphill on one side and downhill on the other, which is a really neat thing at a racetrack. And really the only other place that is like that, that dramatically is Concord, which is very difficult, the different track down in North Carolina. But you almost shoot down into a hole and then bounce back up and come up a hill down the back straightaway. So, it's a unique facility, very fast. You carry so much straightaway speed at Delaware Speedway, and you've got banking there. So if you look at Martinsville Speedway, very long straightaway, very tight corners, and flat corners as well. Delaware's got a decent amount of banking, but they're sweeping enough to carry a lot of center corner speed. So if you can make a clean pass at Delaware, you can make a clean pass anywhere.
Ah, cool.
I think that's kind of the neat part about that facility.
Wait till you see Eastbound International Speedway out in Newfoundland. If you don't know about Eastbound and you're out that way, you got to check it out. But if you're somewhere else in Canada and you've never heard about Eastbound Park, get to eastboundpark.com. Have a look at that racetrack. You'll see what I mean. What a gem. What a speed palace.
Yep.
And it's like that, Junior. You are coming uphill out of one end of the track and coming downhill out of the other.
Yep.
It lends itself real well to real good racing.
It does.
But it's tough to get a hold of. When you get a hold of it, look out.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is tough to dial it into that speedway. You've got a number of guys that are out there, out on the rock, that are getting real, real good at doing it. And I believe if they can do it at Eastbound, they could do it anywhere. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be real cool to see what comes out of there. It's a 5-year-old facility. This is the 5th season for Eastbound. And I can tell you from seeing it, from being there on a nightly base, the competition level goes up each and every time we hit the racetrack. And the guys are getting that much better. Pat Squires, the owner of Eastbound, built that racetrack with one thing in mind. He wanted to see someone from Newfoundland, Labrador, go into NASCAR and go into one of the top 3 series and do well. And that's the reason why he built that speedway.
That's wild, isn't it?
It is.
That's
it
so
is.
Cool.
He wants to make a success story out of someone, if not more than one, out there in Newfoundland, Labrador. He said, and the only way we're ever going to get that is if I build a track, because no one else is going to do it.
Yep.
So if you take a look at eastboundpark.com and you see what Pat Squires and his group of people have done and continue to do, it will blow your mind. Have a look at it, eastboundpark.com. And definitely, if you have any plans at all of going out to Newfoundland and seeing that part of Canada, you got to put it on your calendar to show up at Eastbound for a night of racing. You won't be disappointed. I can guarantee you that.
But, for sure.
Yeah, kind of cool. We got a lot of great tracks.
I'm looking forward to getting out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out there this summer.
Well, we got DJ Kennington coming in. He's going to come in on Labor Day. J.R. Fitzpatrick is also going to run at Eastbound International Speedway this year. He's going all the way out to Newfoundland. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be neat. I'm looking forward to it.
So many good races coming up still this year. You know, things just getting fired up. And I know still to come here tonight, we got Cole Butcher coming up.
Yep.
We've heard from Cole a couple of times on the show in recent weeks. Cole Butcher was at Petty International Raceway just today, actually.
It rained out yesterday.
It went today. And it wasn't a Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour race at Petty, which we're used to hearing. It was a pass race. It was the inaugural, it was the Atlantic Fleet Center's 150, and it was a new thing. They were trying a brand new deal. And really what we ended up with was a mixture of pass cars. Guys like Ben Rowe were there. Ben ended up finishing up second, and a mixture of the Pro Stock Tour guys.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Tough day for Cassius Clark.
Yeah.
He ended up losing a wheel right off the beginning of the race there and backed
man.
It into the fence hard.
Oh, that's no good.
But, yeah, definitely tough day for those guys. And but hats off to Cole for sure. It seems like, you know, and I'm very shocked that the pass guys didn't attract more, especially for a new racetrack that they're going to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Petty is a great track.
Yeah, definitely.
I haven't seen it personally. I've only viewed it from a distance, from online, but definitely spoke to a lot of different competitors, fans that, you know, visit Petty International Raceway in New Brunswick quite a bit. And it's one of those racetracks that you want to make it, put it on your bucket list because you got to go there one day.
Yep. It's on ours.
It is. Definitely.
It is. Yeah. You know, I watched some of the video from today's race, and the track looks so racy.
It does.
It looks really cool. I think that Petty, you know, and just the way that everybody talks about it from the tour, you know, just everybody that we talk to, you know, we basically put a spotlight on it, for the beginning portion of the year, just to kick off the tour and the Parts for Trucks tour. And you know, everybody just said that place puts on a good show.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't one guy that said, it's not my favorite racetrack. You know, that usually means that it's really tough to get around when somebody, you know, kind of zeroes in and says it, but nobody did. Now Oyster Bed, there's a couple guys that say that about Oyster Bed, because it's so difficult to get around.
Sure, sure. And you got to be good at it. Any of the guys from PEI love Oyster Bed.
Absolutely.
But the guys coming off the mainland, that isn't their home track, right?
Exactly.
So they got to get used to it. They got to do their thing. But you guys like Hicken and McKinnon and Kent Vincent, all those guys, Proud, they're all like, that's their home track.
Yep.
Man, that's what they cut their teeth on. And it's going to be a wicked, wicked time. They got two Pro Stock Tour races here this year.
It's going to be exciting.
So we got Cole Butcher coming up. But before we get to Cole Butcher, I know I got to hit another break. And then on the other side of that break, Junior, I want to ask you all about Sunset Speedway last night. I know you guys, Steve-O asked you what was going on, but I want to talk to you about it. Not just about the big happenings, but I want to talk about the race too, because the NASCAR All-American Weekly Series is running at Sunset Speedway, has for a number of years.
Yep.
And it's dynamite racing. It really is. Probably the best late model regular racing that you're going to see in the province takes place at Sunset.
I would agree with that. I would agree that they've got a very stout group of core competitors that race there. But yeah, we'll get talking about it in hour number two, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, we're firmly in hour two, but we're up alongside a break, and we're going to take it right now. When we come back, Cole Butcher is going to join this program. We'll talk Petty International Raceway. We'll talk about what I believe is Cole's first pass win. I could be wrong on that, but we'll find out on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is David Pearson, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do it too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
But I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Looking for victory.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR.
All year long.
Checker, 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 checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Got it. All right, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Yeah. Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the SiriusXM app.
Baseball.
Baseball. Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. To all of you listening in on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks, or maybe you're tuned in through the week on the Performance Motorsport Network.com, or how about Gearhead Country Radio? There's all different ways, and of course, if you happen to have missed the show, you can always tune in on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, or get to racetimeradio.com and download and listen at will. But what do you say we get back to giving you something to listen to, and let's talk to a winner that just went to Victory Lane, oh, I don't know, maybe 6-7 hours ago at Petty International Raceway, talking about the number 53, Cole Butcher, part of the Alan Kowicki Development Driver Group, and he's with us on the hotline. What's going on, Cole? Congratulations on another huge win, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good stuff. Now, was this your first pass win, or have you won a pass race before?
This is my very first pass win in my career.
Ooh, you gotta love it when that happens.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun day. My first win, and we had a really good group of guys racing against us, and it was a really good quality field.
Yeah, it looked like it, Cole. Now, was it the 53, the red rocket that we see in the parts for Truck Stewart, or was that a separate car?
This is a brand new car that we just had put together this last week. We didn't have a body on it until late Thursday, so it's a brand new distance racing car, and Jeff and Ben put the hours into it, set it up Thursday afternoon, and it paid off. New car group was doing it Saturday morning, but other than that, it was a really good piece, and I can't complain.
And that's the one you were working on last Sunday night when we talked to you after the Pro Stock Tour win.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, so that car is batting 1,000 now. I don't think you're going to get out of that until you stop winning, right?
You're right.
Are you just sitting in the car while you're talking to us? Because like, if it's only hit the track once and it ended in victory lane against some of the top competitors in pass, man, that's a good piece.
Yeah, it is. We had a really good day. The guys worked hard all day getting the car where it should be. I think Cash was the car to beat, but unfortunately, he had a little mishap. But other than that, we had a really good car. It did everything that we wanted to do, and it was there when it counted.
Yeah, well, it looks like Andrew Hickman's got some work to do in that 13 King Race Shop, man. I'll tell you what, we seen a photo. Joe just pulled it up on his phone. It looks like that car's beat up pretty good.
Yeah, Cash just took a pretty hard hit. I'm not really sure what the circumstances were of what happened, but, Andrew, he'll get back together, and it'll be just like new.
Yeah, tough place, right? Petty International Raceway. It's one of those tracks, Cole, that it must have paid huge dividends to know your way around that speedway today.
Yeah, it took a while to get used to the pass tires and how much harder you can go into the corner and how much harder you can come off the corner. But it helped to know the line and be one up on your competitors. But they were one up on me with the tires and the shocks because I don't run them very often, so it probably evened itself out in the end. But all in all, we were able to put a good show on for the fans. And come on with a victory.
So you're up front, you win the race. Right behind you, you got a pro like Ben Rowe right behind you. What was that like? Was he cutting you any slack? Did you have? Did you know he was back there?
Yeah, I watched most of the race behind me throughout the race. I started watching Derek Griffin and DJ Shaw battle, and I watched Ben Rowe come up. And on the last restart, I knew Ben, he'd be good on the outside because that's where he was running. So I had to rough him up a little bit before to go in order to get by him. But he loved it. He came over to me and said, "You finally learned how to drive because I'm not usually nice." So he was loving it. And I was more concerned about him being mad. But, Ben Rowe's a good friend of ours. And he loved that I actually got aggressive with him. And he was happy as can be.
I gotta just reflect on a moment here. It was back at the Cat 250 a couple of years ago. Ben Rowe was in driving one of the Zero cars, and it was Craig Slonwhite out. Those guys were battling it out, and I remember at the halfway break, Ben Rowe grabbed Craig Slonwhite, and he said, "Buddy, you got the car to win this race, damn it. You can beat me, I know you can, but you gotta race." And it was really cool to see. That's the kind of guy Ben Rowe is, right? Not only is he a tough competitor, but he'll lay it on the line and tell you the way it is.
Yeah, he's really good that way. He'll tell you that you need to rough him up, or he'll tell you what you need to do and what you don't need to do. But Ben's a really good friend of ours, and he's always good to go to, or he comes to us. But we were able to put our show on for the fans in the end, and he was happy and I was happy.
Yeah, I guess so. The Yellen Kowicki Driver Development Program, they got to be happy, too. Do they know about the win yet?
Oh, yeah. Me and Derek Griffin put it on Twitter, and they were able to see it. But it was good for me and Derek to get to run each other hard in the clean this afternoon. And, it's good to be able to race each other while we're part of the program. So I'm sure TR and the rest of the gang's happy. And also I see Brett Yackey and Molly got their themselves some wins, too. So it's it's a pretty good week for the Kawica drivers.
Yeah, and the battle continues, right? You guys will be warring it out all the way to the end. With this win now, are we going to see you in more pass races? You got a car prepared. When's your next pass race going to be?
My next pass race is Spud Speedway. I think it's in the early weeks of July. It's the weekend that it's the Tuesday after PEI, so I'm not 100% sure when that is, but it's a Tuesday at Spud Speedway, which is like 6 hours away, like 13 minutes across the border. So we'll go there, and it's paying pretty good to win, and we'll take our new car there, and we should be good to go. But I'm looking forward to that, to get back into this car, and I'm also looking forward to Riverside in a couple weeks with the Maritime Pro Stock Tour.
Yeah, so are we, man. I'm telling you what, that's going to be a dynamite race. Fans can tune in live. You're going to be able to hear the Ron McGilvery Chev Buick GMC 150 live on Racetime Radio. And you know Cole Butcher is going to be one of those guys you're going to have to keep your eye out for and your ear out for. He's going to be a threat to win that one there. Pro Stock Tour guys that showed up into this race, probably a good thing, Cole. Didn't sound like the car count was going to be all that big with Pass coming north. Was there any talk about that amongst the competitors? Did they have maybe a rough race the week before or something like that? Why the low car count, or was it even a subject?
I think for the past, it was so. It was more so the border. They were a little nervous and skeptical about what's going to happen at the border, so they didn't want to deal with that. And, it cost quite a bit of money to race these past races, so with shocks and tires, so a lot of guys just like to do their own thing and race locally. I understand both ways, but I like racing, so we're going to race as much as we can. But the people that want to race will race, and the people that are just happy racing the tour will do that. But there was no real talk about why the car kind of was down, but I felt like we had a really good quality field. And, it wasn't a lot of cautions. Everybody raced each other with respect. So, honestly, I think the field was really good. Would have been nice to have maybe Blankhorn or a couple other guys there. But I'm not sure why they stayed home. But, yeah.
Well, it sounds like the weather was crap on Saturday, the day that the race was supposed to go. But you guys definitely got it in today. And you went to victory lane. That's got to feel really good.
Yeah, it feels really good. My team put a lot of effort in. James, David, Greg, Joe, Dad, Mom, Olivia, Adam, Pixie, Matt, Jared. They all put their heart, sweat, and tears into this car this week. We all worked our butt off to get it there. And it wouldn't be possible without them and Jeff Taylor and Kevin and Ben. But, the hard work paid off, and we were able to go back-to-back victories. And hopefully we'll be able to carry this over into Riverside and get our first win.
Yeah, you got to love it. Momentum plays a key role in this sport. Don't care what division you're running or where you're running, momentum can't hurt, that's for sure. And to have two wins like this, two big wins, it's got to bode well heading into Riverside Speedway. Sponsorship on your car plays a key role. I know it does. The Red Rocket. Now, was this 53 today? Was it red, just like the one we're normally seeing in the Pro Stock Tour?
Yeah, it looked exactly like it used to do, except we had a couple different sponsors. We had Ernest Performance on the side, which does our shocks, and we sold Atlantic Tow Load, East Coast Storage Solutions, Hanging on Fishery, Derby Mining and Packaging, Kawica, Top Construction, Fred M. Duffy. We had the rest of the gang on board, just a couple different placements of the sponsorship, but other than that, the only thing that's different is it says pass on top of the window.
And it says feature winner, which is really cool. Did you learn anything today, Cole, that you're going to be able to apply to the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour car? Was there any aha moments today that you went, I can't wait to try that on my other 53?
Yes and no. It's hard to say because different shock package, different tires, so what works on this car may not work on the other car because the tires are shocked. But I'll see what we got when we get back to the shop, and I'll go back to the drawing board. But I feel like we have a pretty good package in both series and both cars, so I'm pretty comfortable going into the rest of the year.
$5 says when you drive out there on the track for your first test or first practice session, and you drive it in like you did with the past car, you're going to be like, wow, okay. These tires don't stick. Right. These tires don't stick the same.
Yeah, you're right.
Incredible, Cole. Well, great to see the success that you're having. Much continued success, and I know we look forward to catching up with you at Riverside International Speedway in just a couple of weeks.
Yes, I appreciate you guys having me, and we'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. That is Cole Butcher, goes to Victory Lane, Petty International Raceway, wins his first pass race today.
Kid's on a roll, man.
Yeah, is he ever. He
just winning everything, and, you know, it's not a surprise at all. They've got amazing equipment. He's a great little wheel man, and you know, it seems like they've got a team there that's a dedicated racing group, and I'm shocked as well. This is kind of the first time on the East Coast where a butcher's there, but there's no Blankhorn.
So,
you know,
I don't know what happened there.
Exactly. But he's got a new business fired up, and he's putting, he said it right off the beginning of the year, he's focused 100% on just the Pro Stock Tour, and he said it was going to be a summer of fun outside of that. So,
yes,
remember,
he said that.
So, you know, I think I bet he's kicking himself now that Cole's staying in Victory Lane. That'd be a little thorn in his side.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way or nothing, just on the rivalry side. But I bet that he's going to go out there rested up. When they do hit the racetrack at Riverside and be fired up.
Well, yeah, you can guarantee that. Dylan Blankhorn loves Riverside.
Yep.
Cole Butcher
hasn't won there yet.
He said right on the program, exactly, it's one of his Achilles heels.
Yep.
He loves the racetrack, but he never has any luck at that place.
Yep.
But I don't care who you are or where you come from, the guy you're going to have to get over when you get to Riverside is that number 89, Donald Chisholm. That guy, that's his home track. That is the place that
his name's on the deed.
That is the guy that he learned how to race at.
Absolutely.
That speedway.
Yep.
He is one tough customer to beat there. Him and George Koskulik, those two guys there. But I'll tell you, Dylan Blankhorn is really starting to cut some ways in at Riverside as, you know, the guy to beat.
Yep. No, 100%. And as well, Kent Vincent, you know, you got to.
Sure.
You gotta,
two IWK 250 wins.
Exactly. Yeah.
And a brand new car.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep. It's going to be interesting when they hit the racetrack over there.
Sure is. Craig Slonwhite has had really, really good runs there the last couple of years. Hasn't had the results, but he's been on the podium, I'm going to say three out of the last four times.
Yep.
At Riverside. He was another guy looking real good at Scotia Speed World. Sean Turple, another one. How about the 29, a Proud?
Big motor Proud.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
New car.
Another new car with a big motor and big Dodge stickers. And that thing there, he's always a rocket when you can let the thing stretch out, stretch its legs a little bit. He's always quick.
He is incredibly fast. So many good cars. And that race is going to come up. If you can't join us at Riverside, make sure you tune into racetimeradio.com right around that 3 p.m. mark on June the 16th.
Yep.
You'll be able to listen to the race, everything pre-race to post-race, and all the action in between. I'll have it all for you.
And just so all the spotters know, I'll have it playing on my iPhone while testing is going on.
Yeah.
So when we're not on the track, I'll be listening in.
Yeah. Now, where are you going to be that weekend?
The Jucasa.
Jucasa race.
Yeah. Jucasa for the NASCAR Pinty Series. So that'll be interesting.
That's a big race.
Yes, it is.
That's going to be good. And two Pinty's races at Jucasa this year.
Yep.
So
yep.
This is, let's call this the spring race.
Yep, the spring race and the fall race.
They'll have a fall one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. I'm going to be spotting for Ranger over there. So he got a kick at the can last year for the first time over at Jucasa, and I haven't yet. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Looking forward to it.
We're going to hit our final break, and then we can put those to rest. We got some clips. Let's hear from Kyle Busch. We're going to hear from Daniel Hamrick. Ended up finishing third. And second was, Chase Elliott in the Xfinity race that took place at Pocono on the weekend. We're going to hear from those guys when we come back. And I want to talk to you about the activity over at Sunset Speedway and the night that you had last night. I know there's lots of people talking about it today. If you look at social media, lots of people talking about it. But we'll get your take. At least I'll try.
Yeah.
I'll try.
I'll give it to you.
You got nowhere to run and hide.
I'm not afraid.
Just you and I.
Nope.
We'll hit this break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, fans, this is Don Kwasniewski, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
The General's back in town.
The stars and cars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Riverside International Speedway.
Put your tap shoes on. It's time to dance.
Saturday, June 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It's a Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
All right, man, you're ready to go.
Under the lights at Riverside International Speedway.
Have a go, green.
From pre-race to post-race, it's all live worldwide at racetimeradio.com. Don't miss the Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick, GMC 150.
Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah!
Saturday, June 16th. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. For tickets and info, get to riversidespeedway.ca.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Baseball. 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 Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Racetime Radio.
SiriusXM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
Here he is. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. Well, did you catch the NASCAR Xfinity race from Pocono this weekend? If you didn't, and I know, Junior, you didn't.
I didn't, but I was keyed into social media because this was a different aero package than in the past. You know, it's something that they tried at Indy a little bit, similar to what the All-Star guys had.
Yeah.
But so I was keyed into that just to kind of see how everything was transpiring and looking. And so I didn't get a chance to sit down and watch the race. But I did notice that Alex Labbe, he had some severe difficulties in qualifying. He was dragging the splitter all the way around.
Yeah.
Something was wrong.
Sort of wore the front end of the car
right off. Definitely keyed in to see how Alex was doing and I obviously didn't get a chance to catch the entire race, but it looked like it was quite a sporty little show.
Alex started 23rd. Alex finished 18th.
Yep, good job for him.
Good race for Alex Labbe.
Doing a good job again.
That number 36, difficulties, as mentioned right off the top, but they battled through it. Mario always does, and got him a car that he can race. So, like I was saying before on previous shows, let these guys get back to a track again, and you're going to get a different result, because now it's not, you know, Alex's first time around. He's going to be a lot better as the years and as the races unfold. Another guy that had a real difficult race, but was happy to be there was Christopher Bell. He started fifth, ended 36th. So not the day he was looking
Big
for.
Big wreck.
Yeah.
He had a really tough hit. He basically, you know, spun in front of the entire field and knocked the ass end off the car a little bit. But a tough showing for him.
Yeah, sure was. Let's get to some of the results here. Let's hear from third place finisher Daniel Hemric, driver of the 21. Here's what he had to say in the media center after the race.
Yeah, our day was definitely full of ups and downs. Yeah, at the end, I thought I'd be able to hold chase off, you know, for a couple more laps. But my balance would always kind of shift tighter on exit throughout the run, and that was the longest it lasted in all reality. But yeah, just throughout the day, we just, you know, didn't quite have the track position after qualifying. We tried to get a little track position there, short pit in the end of stage two, to at least be lined up near the front of the field. Knew we were going to be close on fuel, but we had a little bit of vibration. So even when the caution came out, we had to come back down pit road and get four tires. So even in that situation, the misfortune ended up being fortunate because we ended up making it on fuel and we're plenty good to go. And I saw the 19 ran out of gas. It looked like there at the end on our strategy. So like I said, misfortune was fortune for us. But I'm proud of the effort, proud of the guys on pit road. We struggled a little bit maintaining speed on pit road and gaining spots, and they did a great job of putting us in position when it matters today, and Danny Stuckman did a great job of tuning this package. It was something that was unknown for everybody, and the drivers didn't really know what – none of us really knew what we had going in, so I thought it was interesting to see Chase and I battling out for second and third at the end when we were talking pre-race, that neither one of us thought we had the speed we needed. So we got a little bit of homework to do. I think across the board, everybody's going to come back next week with this package and be a little bit better, but I'm proud of how far we've come this weekend.
Daniel Hemric has come a long way as a driver, hasn't he? He's always been a good driver. Thinking back to his late model days and then seeing Daniel here in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series for the Silverado 250 a couple of years ago here. He was good then. To look at him today and watch him in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, he's making fans. He's got to be making fans every time he straps in.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. And really, it seems like every time that he's got a little bit of speed, you know, in his program, there's a couple of guys in the field that have a little bit more.
Yeah.
And you know, it seems like he can have, you know, when he's off, he's off. And it's the lay of the land over at Richard Childress Racing right now. It doesn't matter if you look at their Cup program or their Xfinity program, it's the same way. They either have a little bit of speed, just not enough, or they're completely off. And even when they're off, Daniel Hemric compensates and still pulls out a top five, top six finish, seems like every time. And, you know, he's been doing a whale of a job. Obviously, you know, racing for South Point now with the South Point casinos on his car and supported by Brendan Gaughan and those guys. That's cool. And, you know, Daniel Hemric is a guy that's going to be in the sport for a long time. And you know, surprisingly enough, he's there on talent. And
yes.
He's not just there with money. Obviously, he does a great job with fundraising and sponsorship and all that great stuff. But, you know, he's a guy that he has raced his way and made his mark in racing, you know, vastly on his skill and talent. And it goes all the way back to they had $1 million to win legend race.
Yeah.
And that's where Daniel Hemric really
surfaced.
He won that at a very young age. Went out there and won at Charlotte Motor Speedway in $1 million to win legend car race, which never happened again.
No.
And he's the one that ended up walking away with all the cash. And that's really where he surfaced as a prominent superpower in the sport. And I think it's going to continue to grow that way.
Nothing will make you want to be a race car driver like catching something like that, right? Hitting a big win like that, earning a big race win. That really cements it in your head going, okay, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And good on Daniel for having the talent, the ability, and the drive. You need that in this sport. It looks glorious when you're sitting on your couch and you're watching the guys and you think, man, they're flying around and they get to a racetrack. That's all they do is just show up at a racetrack and they have fun all the time. Well, Junior, tell them what it's really like. It's hard work. It's
exactly.
Hard work. It's something that, yeah, you got a love for it. Yeah, you got a passion for it. But at the end of the day, these guys, the commitment that they have, you best do the things you want to do before you get into the sport. Because once you're into it, It's a full-time commitment.
Well, it's a lifestyle, and you enjoy doing it. It's not like a guy that is cutting down logs in the middle of a bush. He's not doing that because he loves it. You know, there's not a whole lot of guys that love it.
They tolerate
it, and that's their job, and they get paid very well to do it. In racing, you love it. You live for it. You don't care what it takes from you. You just continually give to it and give to the sport is what I mean. And really, the guys that are at that level, that's what they live for, and that's what they do. It's not about going to a wedding on a Friday night or a Saturday night. It's not about, taking the weekend off and going boating. You don't get those moments in racing. You might, but it's probably on a Tuesday afternoon,
right?
Where you get to, cut loose and get out. And sure, they have those moments, and you can get away from it. It's still a job at the end of the day. But these guys pour absolutely everything they've got, whether it be into fitness or thinking of new ideas or coming up with, a different approach to drafting or sitting down in competition meetings and hashing out what the competition is doing and what you're doing and getting better every single day. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's all you can ask for out of one of these drivers, and they take it another step further by making sure that they're as fit as humanly possible, and studying. These guys, I remember sitting on the airplane with Michael McDowell, and you think you go for a 2-hour flight. We were running 25th at the time, 28th, in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And the entire time researching his alliance partner's lift points, researching his lift points from the previous time there, researching video, watching back on things that have happened,
yeah.
and looking back on test footage and data and all the different things that they have access to, they never stop. And that's how you get better at this sport.
Incredible. Finishing the race up second. How about Chase Elliott? He made an appearance in the Xfinity Series, got a second-place finish. Here's what he had to say in the media center at Pocono on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought our car was pretty good last week, too, and I wish we would have had a shot there as that race went along to see, once the 18 fell out. I didn't think I had anything for him. But, today I think kind of similar to last week. I feel like I could run, by the end of a run, I feel like I could maybe get close to his pace, but I don't think I could run him down without being in his draft. So there was a point in time where he had a penalty and was coming back to the field, and I got in his draft and was able to keep up with him, and actually thought that I was going to be in a good spot by the end of a run because I thought my car drove better than his. He was just faster, had a little more speed. So that was kind of the balance, trying to figure out how much speed you wanted to give away for balance, and we hedged more on the driving good side, and it was a good day, but not good enough.
Speaking of drivers that have come a long way, how about Chase Elliott? One day,
Mr. Bridesmaid. Mr. Bridesmaid.
Yeah, no kidding. One day, I am going to pull out some old interviews from here on Racetime Radio. I got one with Chase Elliott after. I believe it was a late model race at Wilkesboro. At least I think it was Wilkesboro that he won his first late model race.
Yep.
He joined us on Racetime Radio.
Yep.
And I'm going to pull that interview out just to have a listen to it. We'll share it here on Racetime Radio. The other one I got to pull out is Kyle Larson.
Yep.
He was, I believe, 12 years old.
Yep.
And we had him on Racetime Radio talking
big
about
sprint
driving
car.
A sprint car.
Yeah, youngest to drive a sprint car in the state of California. I remember that video that interview.
That night, yeah. That
cool
was, I think, the first year Racetime Radio was on the air. But we'll get to it one of these
Absolutely.
Nights. We'll pull out some of these golden moments of Racetime Radio. But let's hear from the winner now, Kyle Busch. What else can be said about Kyle Busch? This guy is a wheelman. He is a true down-to-earth racer. Just doesn't quite get any better. This was Kyle Busch's, you ready for this, his 92nd win. 92nd win and his first at Pocono in Xfinity.
Yep.
Oh, that is amazing. Yet another track that he checks off his Now I got a win at.
But he had a win at Pocono in the trucks and in Cup.
Yeah.
So, but not in an Xfinity car. So yeah. He hasn't won at every track in all three divisions. He's won at every track in the Cup Series, but he hasn't. This is his first Xfinity win.
Yeah. Now check that off the list. Here's what he had to say in the media center.
That's great. You know, it's been one that we've wanted to get, but you know, I've only started one other race here, and it was a rain shortened. I thought we were pretty good on that day, but come home fourth. So to have a great race car today like we did from Eric Phillips and all my guys, it was just phenomenal for us. So really, really cool, really, really good. Means a lot to win here in Pocono in the Xfinity Series and check another box, if you will, of being able to win in all active tracks on the Xfinity schedule. So that's pretty special. There was a few that I've missed out on that I haven't gotten over the years that I wish I would have been able to get, but they're gone and done now, so I can't. But overall, today was a great day. Really want to say thanks to Comcast, NBC, Universal, Juniper for allowing us the red, white, and blue colors on it today for all the meaning of what that means of saluting the troops and the members of service that are able to come back out of the military and to give jobs to those both serving as well as their spouses. So really, really special message there.
Cool program for Kyle Busch. I noticed today in the Cup race, he's got that white M&M's car still, and you explained that.
Yeah,
that's his memorial car.
Yep, absolutely. And they do a great job with that, and they've been doing it the past couple of years, not necessarily in Xfinity, but it's cool that he carried it over as well in the Xfinity side.
Yeah, we also got to throw it out to how about Cole Pearn, Canadian Cole Pearn, crew chief for the 78. Martin Truex Jr. They go to Victory Lane today at Pocono. So congratulations to those guys. It's been a while since we've had Cole on this program. We're going to have to reach out to him, see if we can line something up. The bad part of this time of the year is normally they do the race. Then they, you know, if they win, they're there in the media center and doing their thing for a couple of hours. And then it's a big rush to get to the aircraft to get out of there. When we normally get Cole on the program, it's usually in the shoulders or, you know, through maybe a soft week.
Yeah.
And then we can get Cole Pearn on because he's a busy cat.
Absolutely. And they don't just have to fly back to Charlotte. You know, 80% of the races are on the East Coast. So they've got a, you know, 3.5 hour, four hour flight every single week back to Colorado. So, we always catch up with them in the off season or, you know, on the, like you said, the soft weeks or if they race on a Saturday. Hats off to them. They drove a whale of a race and really threw their hat back in the ring. Not that they were ever out of it, they had won at the beginning portion of the year, but they lacked speed the last couple weeks. And, man, they picked it back up. They picked the ball up and they ran with it. They had some great speed today, and it definitely looked like, the four car kind of faltered a little bit this week. So surprising because everybody thought he was going to dominate this race and just drive away with it.
Right.
Really, when you look at this, these are the most competitive teams in the history of NASCAR. When you look at the 75 or the 75, when you look at the 78, you look at the 18, you look at the four car and as well throw the 42 in that mix. Jeff Gordon said it today in the broadcast. Those are probably the top four that you're going to see at Homestead. And I don't think that anybody would say anything different.
No,
it would be a shock to see anything else. Now, there's still a lot of racing left in the season to get there. There's a lot of guys can get locked in. There's a lot of, you know, stones to be overturned. But at this point in the season, those four cars are the class of the field. And they are head and shoulders above everybody else.
They are. Big time difference. Yeah. And you know what? How do you square that up without penalizing the guys that are, you know, doing their homework and working hard and going fast?
Exactly.
It's a tough deal. What I want to get to, we haven't got much time left here, but let's talk about Sunset Speedway on the weekend. You went over there yesterday, helping out the 41 car. First of all, the double features, two twin 35-lap features is what happens at Sunset Speedway for the NASCAR All-American Whelen Series. race number one, how did you guys do?
Yeah, it was helping Holdaway and just kind of, you know, he's running a part-time schedule this year. He's got a pro late model that he's building, that he's built, and he's also got his limited late model program that he's had going for forever. So this is just kind of part-time. They're trying a lot of different things setup-wise, and we got out there. We didn't have a qualifying session to write home about, but Taylor did a great job in the first race, and he drove his way right up to fourth, and he was putting the beats on Ron Quinnell in the 57 car and having a good race. The number 10 of Gord Shepherd and Danny Benedict, they came across the line side by side. I couldn't have called the winner. I don't know whether it was timing.
It was Shepherd.
Yeah, it was Shepherd that won it, but yep. I couldn't have called it. It was that close.
Wow.
It was a great finish.
Gotta love it.
Just hats off to them. And then obviously in the second race, I went down and drew for Taylor, and I drew a 10 for the invert. So tough deal for us. We started 10th and then ended up getting into a little bit of a wreck and couldn't get back. But I think
car's
finished
not
like
bad.
14th. No, the car's straight as an arrow.
Yeah.
Just a tough deal that he got spun around, jacked up the 46 car, and then the 10 and the 54 ended up getting wrecked pretty bad. So not wrecked bad, but knocked the nose off both of them. So the big thing and kind of the big story of the night was it's really interesting. There's an interesting dynamic, and I probably need more time to explain it. But
well, you haven't got much.
There's
1 minute.
You know, an interesting dynamic with how the rules are stated right now at short tracks across Canada, really. And there's one car that's blatantly different on the body style and how it's set up, and that's the 24 car of Nick Yetts, and there's a lot of hard feelings over there just about how the car is, and I'm not calling them out on it. I don't know if the car's illegal or legal. I haven't inspected it. You know, I'm not the tech guy.
Right.
But there was a lot of hard feelings about the car, just how the inspection process was going, and all the drivers were there to, not all, I believe it was probably about 80% or 90% of the drivers were complaining about a certain issue, and what happened, what took place is Dwayne Baker and his team basically got into it with the official staff, and I love both sides of the parties. I don't want to throw anybody under any bus, but there was definitely a little bit of an altercation, and
a haymaker
was thrown, and it's a really tough deal because I feel for everybody involved.
Well, it's not a tough deal because that's why you got a rule book and a procedure rule book, right?
Yeah, but
so
I don't know the history
anything
else.
History doesn't matter. That's the cool part about it. You got a rule book. You got a procedure.
Yep.
When this happens, this is what the countermeasure is. Don't do this or this happens.
Yeah.
So you've got that,
yep.
It doesn't matter whether you got friends, whether you got foes. Doesn't matter what the situation is, because what you always got to do is revert back to the rule book.
Yep.
What happens if this happens? Well, this is what happens.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see after all that was done, and we're not going to be able to elaborate on it because we only got 45 seconds now.
Yep.
But it'll be interesting to see what happens in the future.
It will be.
On whether they're going to stick to the rule book and do whatever the rule book says.
Yep.
If that's the case, then everybody will already know what's going to happen because
exactly.
It's in the rule book.
Yep.
But as soon as you go outside the guidelines of that rule book, you got to know that's uncharted water,
yep.
And it's not a place for absolutely anybody to be.
Yep.
So we'll have to keep our eye on it and see how it all unfolds.
It will
but
be
that's
sure
going to do it for us here tonight on Racetime Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank Junior here, along with Susie Q, for getting us all geared up. And, of course, the guys back in Toronto for getting us on the air on Sirius XM Channel 167. But that does it for us. You have a good one, everybody. We'll catch you back here next Sunday night right here on Racetime Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Have a good, safe one.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com or leave a message.
message on our 24-hour listener hotline. 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.